Before I begin my sermon, I want to mention, for those of you who have small children, that every time I preach, most of the time I'll say, on the table right straight back here in the bottom right-hand corner, I always have these handouts. They usually match the color of the handouts, excuse me, for the ones I make for the adults. And it just has in it for the kids. It says, kids, mark the number of times Don uses the words below in his sermon. So what I do is I give words like today, God-haters, God-lovers, David, Saul, Psalm 54, and Jesus. And the kids can mark in the box there every time I say one of those. I think Nathan does the same thing, too, every once in a while. And just kind of helps the kids, give them something to do for the roughly 30 minutes of a sermon, and gets them in tune to listening. And I love to see the kids come up afterwards and just show me how many times either they mark down something or how many times I've said a particular word. So if you're not aware of that, they're back there, and just a way to help your kids. Are you a God hater or a God lover? On this issue, you cannot take a neutral position. It's either one or the other. And you can know which one you are by listening to David in Psalm 54. The preface to this psalm goes like this: to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? It is good for us to know this information, that we might understand why David wrote the words of this poem and why he gave it to the chief musician to put music to it, that Israel might sing it, and for that matter, even the church as well. When you help people and they turn against you, it hurts. But when God delivers you from that situation, now that's a reason for rejoicing. And David, even before he became king, had some very similar experiences. 1 Samuel chapter 23 shows a couple of times when he had such sad experiences. When he was fleeing for his life, along with 600 of his men, from Saul, who wanted to kill David. David had heard that the Philistines were attacking Keilah, which was 18 miles, as the bird flies, southwest of Jerusalem. So David went there because they were also robbing the threshing floors of this town. And this is a town of Israelites. And in verse 5, it says, and David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. When Saul discovered where David was, he immediately went there. He went to get him, to fight him and kill him. But then watch what the people of Keilah intended to do. David heard about Saul coming, so he consults the Lord, and watch what God says. Starting in verse 10. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. The people of Keilah had already forgotten what David just did for them. And they were ungrateful toward David and God because David was God's servant. They were ready to turn the man who delivered them from the Philistines over to his enemy. Even as David could fight the Philistines, and if Keilah had joined him and his 600 men, they could easily have held off Saul and his army, because God was on David's side, and the people of Keilah should have seen that. From there, David fled to the wilderness of Ziph. And this is the incident to which Psalm 54 speaks. Ziph was over 12 miles southeast of Keilah, at least as the clouds move across the sky. And the people there also knew that God was with David. Nevertheless, they feared Saul, just as Keilah did. But watch what the Ziphites actually did. They went a step beyond what the people of Keilah did. Verse 19, still of 1 Samuel 23. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds, in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." The exploits of David at this point in the history of Israel were well known. They had already known of how he had fought against Goliath. They knew of many of the other battles he had fought on behalf of the Lord and Israel. Yet look what they did. David would have done anything for a city or village in Israel. Now, the part of 1 Samuel 23 that I didn't read is that David initially consulted, you know, with his men, and they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go to Ziph. And David consulted, they didn't want to go to fight the Philistines at Keilah. Sorry, I messed up on that. But David still consulted God anyways, and God said, "You'll defeat the Philistines at Keilah." So David persuaded his men to go, risking rebellion from them. And at that point, he would have everybody against him. But in his mind, God's people were under attack. And he would not stand for that. As long as he had breath in him and blood in his veins, he's going to go and do what has to be done to fight for God's people. And he would have fought against Saul at both Keilah and Ziph, simply because they were God's people. Whereas Saul would have killed the people of Keilah or Ziph if they had not turned David over to Saul. Sometimes God's people fight those who fight for them and support those who fight against them. So who do you support? And who do you oppose? Now, let's get into this psalm. Verses 1 and 2, seeking the right help. David said, "Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." With only one exception in his life that I know of, David always knew where his strength was. And every time he sought the Lord. The king of Israel fought David. The Philistines wanted David dead. And in his own homeland, at least in two cities, he couldn't find safety. So what do you do in situations like that? Or let's talk about today. What do we do in situations where we have troubling economic times? Dominating the news now. Instilling fear in our hearts. Well, do what David always did and what he did in this psalm. He prayed to God pleading for God to hear him, asking him to like turn his ear towards him and hear me, O God. Verse 2 should fascinate us because we look at prayer as an easy thing. It's always available to us. I can turn it on, I can turn it off, I can turn it on, I can turn it off, just whenever I want. But I don't think David saw prayer that way. David did not see prayer as a right, but a privilege. Knowing that God was not obligated to answer prayer. But all that David knew was, I need God. And so he turned to God constantly. Not just during the bad times, but also during the good times. He was always focused on the Lord. Verse 3, the problem. He said, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. God, here is why I want you to hear me. Here's why I want you to turn your ear towards me and listen to what I have to say. Because there are some people who have turned against me. There are some people who are oppressing me. And I need you desperately. While the Ziphites and the Kelites were David's brethren, they acted like strangers. They acted like foreigners because they had risen up against him. Rather than supporting and encouraging him, they oppressed him. Sought his life to get rid of him because they were willing to turn him over to Saul. What was wrong with those Israelites? Well, David showed their problem in the last line of verse 3. They had not set God before their eyes. You can know who the people are who have not set God before them. This is even true if you speak of God's people, whether Israelites then or Christians now. The God haters do not support God's fighters. The God haters fight against the God lovers. If you see someone fighting God's fighters, it does not matter how much those oppressors say they love God. They do not, if they fail, to support and encourage God's fighters. And then David said at the very end of verse 3, Selah. Which we probably think meant a pause. And it's good right there to pause and to ponder what David's just said. How that people who were God's people and people for whom David had risked his life were now suddenly oppressing him, turning their backs on him and looking toward the enemy. And they may have said they believed in God. They may have been very conservative in their beliefs. They may have known all the right doctrines and done all the right things. But at this moment, they put themselves on the wrong side. And that meant that they endangered their souls. In verse 4, though, David speaks about the God lovers. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. So even if the Philistines sought David, and Saul pursued him relentlessly, and the Israelites failed to support him, David knew where his help was. God was his strength. In Psalm 27, you can catch a glimpse of the same spirit of David, only magnified much more. Listen to the first three verses of Psalm 27. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat of my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." You could throw any trouble at David, any number of troubles at David, and he said, "The Lord's my strength." And whatever those troubles are, they're going to stumble and fall. They're going to pass. They're going to be the ones who are going to see disaster, not me, because I've made God my help. Now maybe you're saying, "Well, but someone isn't after me," as in the case of David. But there are other things in life that may still trouble us. Such as, I'll mention again, what we hear going on in the economy. What do we do in a situation like that? Where is our help? It should be in the same place as David, with the God of David, and not with the power, might, and wealth of the United States. For the United States doesn't give us God. God gave us the United States. Therefore, my faith should always be in God, regardless of what happens around me. Now, David had another thing to add in Psalm 54. Look at the second line of verse 4. The Lord was not only with David who fought the battles of the Lord, but the Lord is with those who uphold the God lovers. Do you want the Lord to be with you? Then sustain the souls of the God lovers. And you can identify the God lovers by those who fight for God. This shows, interestingly, that David didn't just focus on the people who were against us, or against him, but he remembered those who helped him. You know, sometimes when we get into trouble, either because someone's coming after us, or just because we've got all kinds of troubles in life, what do? We focus on all that bad stuff, and we forget who has been there for us. We forget all the great blessings we have going on in our lives. So yes, I need to be mindful of the troubles, or troublemakers, but I also need to be thinking about those who are with me, those who are with God, and that we work together, and that they've helped me. In verse 5, David spoke about the God-haters. He, God, will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. David, in other words, would not take personal vengeance against his enemies because he knew that God would repay them for their evil. He knew that God would cut them off in his truth. In God's truth revealed in the Scriptures, he tells us what he'll do. He says, those who fight for me and with me, here's how I'll bless you. And those who fight against my people or against me, here's what I'll do. Excuse me. And you can read in both the Old and New Testaments numerous instances of this very thing. I don't know how many times it's listed in the Bible, dozens or hundreds of times, that he's kept his promises either way, to bless those who are with him and to fight against those who are against him. So when he says again that he will take vengeance on our enemies and that we don't have to do it ourselves. He means it. He really will do it. I'd encourage you to spend time in God's truth. That's what David did. And David didn't have as much truth revealed for him as we do. And yet, he could see what God had promised. And so, man, he banked his life on that. And we can too. In Romans chapter 12, Paul addressed this very issue, warning us not to take personal vengeance, but to let God do what God does. Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, the question is, do I believe that? Do I really believe what Romans 12:19 said? And do I believe what I'm reading in Psalm 54? If so, if I do believe those things, then I can speak confidently the same words as David right here in Psalm 54. If you really believe what the Scripture's saying, then take Psalm 54, verses 4 and 5, and make them your own. Speak them to God in prayer. Speak them to yourself and remind yourself of that great truth. Now, in the last two verses, David assures us that God lovers always win. He concluded Psalm 54 with these words, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. Always remember to thank God when he has delivered you out of trouble. You know, the trouble is this. We often find ourselves in circumstances that are beyond our control. We see, I don't know what to do. I can't overcome. So what do? We pray to God. We pray to Him with all the passion that's in our being. And He hears that, and He's touched by it, and He gives us deliverance. And all of a sudden, we have what we wanted. We're happy, and we go along our merry way, and we forget to say, thank you, God, and to praise Him. It's not merely thanking God, but we sacrifice to Him. You see, some people readily thank God to avoid sacrificing, which is giving up something. However, giving up something shows my thankful heart towards the Lord. Let's not forget to make a sacrifice to God, whether it be time, money, or effort. Sacrificing cannot substitute for praising His name either. You know, some people will do any sacrifice to avoid praising God by going to the public worship of the church. I just don't want that commitment. Hey, I'll do all these other things, but don't ask me to do regular church attendance. Commit your life to Him as He, through Jesus, has committed His life to you. And part of that is regular attendance at the public worship of the church. Now, David revealed why in verse 7 that he sacrificed to God and why he praised the good name of Yahweh. First, because God had delivered David out of all his troubles. Not just this one here when he's running out of Kala and then Ziph. But you know, when you read the story of David in 1 and 2 Samuel, when you read of all the things this poor man suffered in the book of Psalms, all the enemies that were after him, and also, you know, we really haven't talked, at least I know I haven't talked very much about the health of David. If you read the Psalms, you'll find out he was frequently sick. And I don't mean just at home with a sniffly nose. I mean he was at the point of death several times. And it's interesting, really, the story of David in 1 and 2 Samuel doesn't tell us a whole lot about his health issues, but he must have had bad health a lot of the time. He had all kinds of problems. His own son was after him to kill him and take over his throne. But David said, God has delivered me out of every single one of those troubles. No exception. And second, he sacrificed to God and praised the good name of Yahweh because David saw his desire upon his enemies. In other words, as David walked with God, and his enemies did not walk with God, David always saw himself the victor, and the other side as the loser. Not that David sought their destruction, because he didn't. He had a couple of times when he could have killed Saul, and he refused to do it. In fact, one time when one of his men told him, you know, here's your chance to kill your enemy, when he stood right over Saul as he's sleeping, David said, no, I can't do that. He's the Lord's anointed. Maybe he'll fall in battle someday or this or that will happen to him. The Lord will take care of him. And the Lord did. Psalm 54 shows why in a battle between the God-haters and the God-lovers always win. Psalm 54 showed God-lovers first placing God before them in prayer. Second, confessing God as their help. Third, having confidence in God to deal with their enemies. And fourth, praising God for the good He does for them. What about you? Do you place God before you in prayer? Do you believe God is your helper? Do you give place to His wrath? Do you sacrifice and praise Him for the good that He's done in your life? Do you support or fight God's fighters? And again, as I said at the beginning, I say again, none of us can take the neutral position. We cannot claim neutrality when it comes to this. I'm either for God or I'm against Him. It's that. There's only those two options. Neutrality actually takes the side of those fighting God's helpers because they're not supporting them. Does your life show that you've been a God-hater or a God-lover? If a God-hater, but you think, you know what, after looking at Psalm 54, I don't like that position. I want to change. Well, do that. Change, repent, and obey Him right now. On this day, when we sing this invitation song, you come forward and we'll baptize you in the baptistry that's right here behind me, full of water. We got something for you to change into in a room over here. And we can cause you to be born of water and the Spirit on this day. If you're a God lover, know this, that God shall bless you all the days of your life. And He will not cease as long as you walk with Him. And finally, let me say this. Jesus is our David. There was David in ancient Israel fighting God's battles, and He gathered men to Him, and they flocked to Him. And they worked together to fight God's enemies and to exalt Israel. Jesus is our David. He wants us to come to Him. Many of us already have flocked to Him. And we fight His battles and we support Him. And we do whatever He wants done. If you want to join us, why not do it today? Don't be like the Ziphites, but be like David's men who supported him wherever he went. If you're ready, come forward now as we stand and sing.